This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, and I'm your host, Deb Wolf. So, I gotta cover this. I don't want to cover this, but I have to cover this right away. So we'll get it out of the way and we'll just deal with it. In Nova Scotia, three dogs, large dogs, for the first couple days, all we knew was that they were large breed, but it turns out one was a Rottweiler and two were Cane Corsos. They were three dogs owned by the same person, and a young boy, 13-year-old, grade 8 student, 8th grader, Drew Nickerson, was riding his bicycle, and these dogs chased him, and they attacked him, and the young man lost his life, this boy. These dogs actually killed him. And the owner was, you know, called authorities and tried to get help, and the dogs have all been euthanized by a veterinarian since it happened, and I don't think they've decided on whether to lay charges or not. The dogs had never behaved this way before. The guy was fully cooperative, the owner. But it just brings up a bunch of different things for me. Who's most likely to get bit by a dog in North America? A boy. Yeah, not a burglar, not a robber, not a criminal. Who's most likely, most often, the victim of dog bites? Are boys. Most often. Now, what dogs are most likely to attack and bite a human? Almost always, or very often, I should say. Very often, more often than not. It's not almost always. That's the wrong way to put it. Very often, very, very, very often, the dog is an intact male. Very often. And that's because there's territory involved with that. And adrenaline. So what do we do about these facts? Well, one thing is we neuter our dogs if they're not in a breeding program, because they're way less likely to become a problem, number one. Number two, if you own a dog that is fierce, huge, or even just fast and edgy, any dog that isn't a mush puddle, any dog that isn't just a love me, I love everybody dog, needs practice. Now, that doesn't mean that these dogs wouldn't have protected the yard against a proper intrusion. If it had come to it, oh yeah, they would have, for sure. But they weren't taught the difference between a boy on a bike riding by and a proper intrusion. They weren't taught that. So if you've got a dog that's a bit edgy or doesn't like people or doesn't seem to know the difference between barking at, you know, a stranger who's lurking by the hedges as opposed to the kid who lives next door. If you have this problem, you need to deal with it. You need to get that dog on a leash and get it socialized. One at a time if you've got three. Take it to the park. Muzzle it if you have to. Leash it tight. Control it. Teach it that people are our friends. Not all people are our enemies. And certainly get it used to kids. Now, what's the deal with these 13-year-old boys? Why is it that most often the kids that get bit are between 8 and 15, and most often they're boys? Okay, there's a bunch of different things going on there. Some of it's in the conditioning we teach our kids, and girls are taught a different way of behaving and approaching, and boys sometimes in some situations are taught boys will be boys, as they say, to be loud and aggressive and not necessarily timid when confronted with something. Now, this boy was doing nothing wrong. I just want to say this boy in Welshtown was doing absolutely nothing wrong. So it's all the fault of the dogs not being taught, as far as I can tell. There's no indication that this boy did anything wrong. But there are boys who do. There are kids who throw rocks at dogs at bus stops. I knew an Irish setter who was so friendly and loved everybody, until the kids who waited for the bus started throwing rocks at her just to get her attention. Well, that can backfire. The rock throwing can make a dog fetch and wear its teeth down to nothing. It can make a dog swallow rocks and need surgery or die. And it can also make a dog very reactive to children. So you have to kind of be on guard for that. If you've got dogs in a yard and a bus stop behind the fence, and you got to watch it. You got to monitor it. You got to make sure there's nothing going on that's going to train your dog to be aggressive with kids. This is really easy to happen. If your dog loves to run and chase bicycles, take it someplace where there's lots of bikes and control it and teach it that we don't chase bikes. We heal by bikes. Get a bike yourself. Get on the bike. Get your daughter or your friend or your wife or your husband to get on a bike and ride slowly by the dog. Teach the dog that bikes are a normal part of life if the dog is a bike chaser. I suspect that wasn't done here. I suspect the dogs didn't know children, didn't know teenagers, didn't know bikes, and were probably in a pattern of fence chasing. And probably the guy didn't care because it demonstrated, as many owners believe, it demonstrates that the yard's protected. It's big bravado to any animals or people that might try and trespass. But at the same time, dogs need to be taught what is a threat and what is not, so they can fit in society. I mean, this man never wanted to have this on his conscience, the death of a child. And he certainly didn't want to put his dogs down. The whole thing was so avoidable if he just trained them, if he just taken them around kids, taking them around bikes, diffused the barking that was probably going on in the backyard, neutered them if they weren't being bred in their males. There's a lot you can do to make this never happen. And as far as your kids go, get them around dogs. If you're afraid of dogs and your partner isn't, get your partner to take them around dogs. It's really important that kids not be overly reactive, that they not panic. Now, again, I'm not saying this kid did that. We really don't have any idea what happened with this kid. But there are times where a kid will start screaming and flailing and in a high-pitched voice run away, and a dog will take chase. And sometimes the dog is just playing, but it will nip because it's maybe played with another kid that way, a kid it likes, you know, and things can get really out of hand. So we have to teach kids how to greet dogs, how to pass by dogs, how to be calm, how to not react, how to call for help, how to avoid situations altogether. If your kids ride by the same yard every day and the dogs explode with aggression, maybe they could take another route or walk on the other side. Now, I'm not saying that's right. The dog owner should be teaching his dogs who to bark at, and they shouldn't be barking at neighborhood kids who are just riding by on a bike. But at the same time, it's a little bit like defensive driving. I wouldn't choose to walk by a reactive dog day after day after day just because I have the right to. No, what if the fence isn't working one day? He's going to get me. I would rather just walk on the other side and not trigger him at all. So there's a whole bunch of things we can do to diffuse these situations. But I really think the key, the big key, is if you have a dog who doesn't love people and doesn't love kids, you got to change that. The best protection dog is a dog who's smart and educated and knows the difference between a threat and a non-threat. A stupid dog who doesn't know any of this can be tricked so easily by people with bad intention. He'll chase someone and then he's locked out of the yard and then they rob you. You need a dog who really knows things, who understands neighbors, friends, children, trespass, passerby. These are not the same thing, and it's really easy to teach them. So I'm going to go over that a little bit when we come back from the break. How do you teach your dog what to bark at, what not to bark at, what to like, what not to like? All right, stay tuned on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello! We're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And you can teach your dog easily. When you see something really suspicious, you get nervous and you get tense. And you'll emit all kinds of smells and worry signals to your dog. And your dog will pick up on it. He'll come look out the window. And that's when you say, bark, speak. I don't like this. Who's that? What's that? I don't know. Ooh, ha, ooh, ha. Like, get it going. Good dog, good dog. And then you say, quiet, go lay down. Quiet, good boy. When the problem's diffused. So the moving van that was a bit creepy has moved along, and now you tell him good boy. You always end with the quiet and the good boy, because you don't want a dog who just barks to get your attention. At the same time you're doing this kind of work, you got to practice more than that. So for every incident where you're trying to teach him to bark, ending with quiet, you're trying to teach him who he should like. So when little Sally from next door sets up her lemonade stand, that's when you are, be nice. Oh, that's Sally. Let's go say hello to Sally. And you put him on a leash and you walk out and you give Sally a cookie and you get him to sit nicely and Sally gives him a cookie and he starts to learn who the neighbors are this way. And you can do this with all your neighbors, neighborhood dogs, neighbors, people who are regulars. You can even do it with delivery people. You need to teach him who's acceptable. And you're not teaching him to let them into the house. You're just teaching him that they're acceptable around the yard. They're acceptable on the driveway. They're acceptable on the road. They're acceptable on the sidewalk. We must not react to them when they're in those places. They are familiar and acceptable, and they don't stress us out. And so that's how you do it. It's so, so simple. And if your dog is all of a sudden starts freaking out at a neighbor he shouldn't be freaking out at, you say, no, stop it. Knock it off. And you use your voice to show him how ridiculous it is. Are you kidding me? That's just Johnny from next door. You know what? We're going to go fix this. Get on a leash. Sit. Good boy. All right. Let's go for a walk. Okay. Heel. Good boy. And I'm saying these commands because you don't want this free for all. You're showing the dog, look, if you're going to misbehave, I'm going to direct you and praise you for the right way to deal with this situation. The wrong way is to bark your head off at the neighbor's kid. The right way is to greet him nicely and then go back in the house and not bark at him anymore. Be good. If he continues to bark, you can crate him. You can give him a timeout. Bring him back in to try again. So the thing he's getting wrong, he's barking at that kid and you don't want him to, or that neighbor, or that friendly person, or that person mowing their lawn, or the gardeners who come every week to the same house, kitty corner from you, and you want him to stop barking at them. It's okay if he barks at them when they trespass on your lawn, but when they're just doing their job over there, he needs to learn that that's okay. And that's how you teach him. So if you've told him to be quiet and he doesn't, then you put him in a kennel for 10 minutes, bring him back out, try again. If he barks again, back in the crate. Bring him back out, try again, try again, try again. The second he gets it right, it's like a light bulb goes off in his head. Oh, I'm not supposed to bark at them. I get a cookie if I'm quiet. I love this word quiet. I'll understand what she wants now. And that's how it works. So if you're looking for any demonstrations of this, I go through quiet. And I have the patience, so much patience, because I use a dog who's extremely difficult to train. It's a Basset Hound. And if you know Bassets, their nose is one of the best in the dog world. And so that makes them probably the worst beggars of any dog. In strong contention with beagles and bloodhounds labs, but really, really bad beggars. And some of them, like the one I demonstrate with, has been mistrained, I guess, by naughty behavior. He's learned that if he barks enough, people will give him the food they're eating. So he sits there and he drools and when you're eating. And I was able to demonstrate, Deb Wolf, Pet Expert on YouTube. You can check it out on all the training demos. I do all of them. But you'll see me do quiet with this dog. And I've got cookies and I've got liver and treats. And he wants those treats. And he's convinced. All he has to do is make noise to get them. But I turn it around. I teach him right before your eyes that if you're quiet for me, you get the treat. If you're not quiet, you're never going to get it. And even though Bassets aren't known for their incredible ability to use logic and intelligence, and they're kind of get stuck on old habits, you watch him learn. And it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing when a stubborn dog just goes, wait a minute. Oh, I bark to get treats. Now I quiet to get treats. Easy fix. Okay, no problem, lady. I'll do that. Because really, it's just as easy. The dogs just do what will work, right? They bark to get the treat. Well, if that doesn't work anymore, and they'll stop. So you just got to be smarter than them. That's the trick, everybody. All right. Have you ever wondered about world leaders and their pets? Could you think of a world leader that really you would give a pet to? It's kind of the strange thing that happens. Anyway, I think of Putin, and I don't really think of warm, fuzzy, cuddly. It's not like I would take one of my golden doodle puppies and say, oh, I want Putin to have this lovely fur baby. I would not. And yet, well, that's what's been happening. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll talk about that next on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Can you guess how many Putin pets there are? Well, unfortunately, nobody can, because there's been so many that there's no comprehensive list, really. So when he came into office, he had a lab, a beautiful lab named Connie. And Connie had a litter, and he gave away all the pups. And Connie is a little bit notable in history because she was the first dog ever to wear a GLONASS, GLONASS, collar, which is a satellite locator collar. She was the first dog to check out that technology, so that's cool. Actually, he had two poodles when he came into office, I should say, but he lost those in a divorce. It's kind of interesting that he's divorced. Anyway, so his ex-wife kept the poodles, but then he was gifted a lab, and that's Connie, and she was the first to wear the locator collar, which I think is really interesting. But since then, he has been given so many gifts. It's really strange. World leaders seem to think because he's a dog lover, and he obviously is. He's got a Facebook page full of him posing with all these different dogs. But they seem to think that because he's a dog lover, they should give him a dog from their country. And some of it's political. You know, like if you're Japan and you give him an Akita and then he poses with pictures of the Akita, it reminds the world that Japan and Russia are getting along, I guess. I don't know. It's strange to me. It's really strange to me. But he's been given so many pets, odd pets, Bulgarian shepherds, and pets that really symbolize the country they're being gifted from. Now, Putin himself has a big connection with giving animals. In fact, he gave 70 animals to North Korean zoo. So Putin's quite the animal guy. And I'm going to follow up more on this on a future show, but I was really surprised to hear this. He just doesn't seem like it. And yet, maybe I could picture him with, you know, guard dogs and that kind of strict training, but it's just so surprising to me that he has all these pets of different types and that world leaders do this, that they give. There's been animals like elephants given to American presidents and such, tigers, and actually Putin was given a tiger. And he donated that, but to a park. But it's just a very odd tradition, I should say. I remember, of course, the Queen with her corgis and Winston Churchill with his poodle. So it seems presidents and prime ministers have often had pets, animal lovers. And I'm not sure what it says about President Trump that he does not. But I think it's probably a good thing. All right, everybody. From me, Deb Wolf, and Animal Party and Pet Life Radio, ciao, meow. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.